All right, go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 21. I think you might hear a little bit more Kentucky out of me than usual tonight. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. I love that music. I love seeing young people up here singing for the Lord. Yes. And blesses my heart. Hope it bless your heart. If it didn't, you got a problem with your heart.
Yeah. Amen.
Revelation chapter 21, and we're just going to look at one verse, verse 1. Please go ahead and stand as we honor God's word. Revelation 21:1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the opportunity to be here. Lord, we thank you for the wonderful freedoms that you've granted us in this country and the opportunity to preach your word and boldly, to preach your word publicly and not worry about somebody coming in and putting handcuffs on us and taking us to jail because we're preaching your word. Lord, I don't know how long that's going to last. I pray that you would help us in this day and age to take advantage of that liberty and that freedom while we have it. I pray that you'd be with us now, dear Lord. Please speak through me. Lord, help me to move myself out of the way. Help me not to say anything that is offensive, save what is offensive in the cross of Christ. Lord, I just pray that the words that go out tonight would not fall on deaf ears, but Lord, that you would do what you desire to do with your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In case you have not noticed it, in case you did not know, which I'm sure you do, we are living in a temporal world. This verse that we just looked at talked about a new heaven and a new earth because the first heaven and the first earth are passed away. John, what I want to talk about tonight are simply things that will pass away. Things that will pass away. Christians, we got to start getting a focus upon what is temporal and what is eternal. As we look at just a couple of things tonight, kind of going away from my, I'm going to say the normal three-point outline. I'm not sure that's a normal kind of a thing around here. Amen. But the normal point number one, point number two, point number three, I want to look at things that pass away, but I want to do a little bit of comparison and contrasting with some things that are eternal, things that are not going to pass away. I think the purpose here tonight is twofold. And number one is for us to get a sense of urgency. For us, we've got to have a sense of urgency. Pastor is up here. It seems like every week, if it's not the main theme of the message, definitely in every message, you're going to hear that, listen, the return of Jesus Christ is imminent.
Yes.
The return of Jesus Christ
yes.
is very, very soon.
Yes.
Our pastor believes that. I believe that. I hope
yes.
you believe that. Christ is coming again. And we believe it to be very soon. But you know what? Even if it's not very, very soon, Christ is still coming.
Yes.
We've still got a work to do.
Amen.
So the purpose for us tonight as we go through this message is for us to get a sense of urgency. But also, we need to have, I believe, a shift in focus. I know as the Lord laid this message upon my heart, I need a shift in my focus. A shift in the focus of my day-to-day life. And you'll understand a little bit more what I'm talking about. The college and career class, they got a little bit of this on Wednesday, and I'm trying not to preach that same message again, okay, folks? I really am trying not to, but I got a feeling you're going to hear an awful lot of that again tonight if the Lord leads that direction. But the first thing I want to look at tonight, something that's going to pass away, and you know, well, listen, you're not going to learn anything new tonight. I'm going to tell you that right now. If I'm standing up here, chances are you're not going to learn anything new. But we need it anyway. I need this. First thing we're going to look at that's going to pass away is life on earth. You know, your life on earth is going to pass away. Not just your individual life, but life, period, on this earth is going to pass away. James 4:14 says, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is but a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. I had some hot tea before I came to, I don't know why this has become a tradition for me, but before Sunday evening service, I have hot tea. I don't know why I do that. If I have choir practice, I bring it with me. But you know what it looks like when you got that hot water boiling on the stove, right? And the steam comes up. How long does that steam last? You go up and you see it hovering around, then you come home at night and you got steam. No, that steam vanishes away. Folks, that's what our life is like. And I know we use the focus of the verse that we often use here is when we're witnessing to folks and we tell them, look, your life, it's short. And it's going to vanish away. And we need to do that. We need to tell other people, look, your life is short. It's not going to last forever. But folks, I want us to look at that in terms of our own life. The vast majority of us here tonight, if not every single person in here, is saved. And we don't need to look at it from that aspect of the urgency of receiving Christ as our Savior. But we need to look at it from the aspect of the urgency of us getting to work while we still have time. So we've got to get to work while we still have time. Jesus Christ said in John chapter 9 and verse 4, he said, the night cometh when no man can work. There's a lot to be done. Pastor was standing up here this morning, and the announcements are getting to the point where sometimes they take longer than the message because we got so many things to remind you of. By the way, singles, 21st, this Friday, 5 p.m., meet at the church, college and career class. Excuse me, not singles. Okay, college and career class, meet here at 5 p.m. So there's another announcement. We got a lot going on. There's a lot of work to be done in the name of Jesus Christ. The problem is our focus is so temporal. Our focus is so focused on the things of this earth that are going to pass away, not on the things that are going to last in eternity. My own life, I spend a vast majority of my time focused on the things that are just the normal day-to-day things that I've got to do. How often, if I'm to look back over my week, if I'm to look back over the day, how much of my day is spent working for Jesus Christ? How much of my day is even with the thought in my mind that, you know what, this life is going to pass away. I only have, even if Christ does not come in my lifetime, I only have a little bit of time to do the work of Jesus Christ. We've got to wake up and realize that, folks. We've got to understand that life is going to pass away. I said I'm going to compare and contrast a little bit, though. Life here on earth is going to pass away, but something that's not going to pass away, and that's life in eternity. Amen? Life in eternity is not going to pass away. Hey, we look at this almost every single message. Go there. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The vast majority of you can probably quote this passage or at least portions of this passage by now, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and he did die, he was buried, rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever, ever, ever be with the Lord. Life up there is an eternity. And that ought to get you excited. I said something's wrong if you didn't get excited when these young people were singing something's wrong with your heart. If you don't get excited about the thought that Jesus Christ is coming again, and whether you're dead or whether you're alive, you're going to be with him for eternity. That is something to get excited about. That is something the next verse tells us to be comforted about. This is a rough life that we've got to live down here on planet Earth. But there is hope.
Amen.
If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Those of you that have deaths in the family and your loved ones recently, we have a hope.
Amen.
I'm going to see my grandma again.
Yep.
Amen. Life up there is for eternity. I'll be with her for eternity. But even more than our friends and our loved ones. You know the song that is sung over again, I want to see my Jesus. Forever in eternity with Christ our Savior. But we use this passage oftentimes and we use the thought of eternal life to comfort us. But folks, like I said, we need a sense of urgency. And the fact that eternity is forever should also weigh heavy on our hearts. It should weigh heavy on our hearts because of the lost souls that we come into contact with every single day. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 34, it talked about how Christ saw the multitudes and he had compassion. And this is where I'm going to park it for a while, folks. We've got to have a shift in our focus. We spend a lot of time doing a lot of good things in the name of Jesus Christ. And I am not trying to take away any of that tonight. But folks, I know in my heart, I've got to have a shift. I've got to have a change in focus. And my focus has got to start turning toward a lost and dying world. I already said, life here on earth is going to pass away. As we walk out these doors tonight and we come across people We need to look at people the way that Jesus Christ looked at people. He looked at them and had compassion on the multitudes. The Bible says he saw them as sheep without a shepherd. Christ wept when he saw the multitudes because Christ understood that eternity is forever. And for us who have received Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, that eternity is blissful. That eternity is wonderful to think about. But for those that don't know Christ as their Savior, that eternity, according to Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15, is an eternity in the lake of fire. Over and over and over again in the gospel, specifically in the book of Matthew, you hear weeping and gnashing of teeth, weeping and gnashing of teeth, weeping and gnashing of teeth. How often do we walk out this door? How often when we're standing with somebody in line at the bank or at a restaurant and we just start and we have small chat with them, you know, the small talk that you have with people when you're in line. How often do we look at them and think weeping and gnashing of teeth, weeping and gnashing of teeth, if they don't know Christ as their personal Savior? I've got to have a change. We want revival. Pastor preached a message. I think it was Sunday night, Pastor. You preached a message. Are we ready for revival? Is America ready for revival? I think the conclusion of that was, no, America's not ready for revival unless our churches are ready for revival. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves. Humble themselves. When we humble ourselves, it is us realizing the way God sees us. It is us realizing that we're not all we think we are. It's us realizing and owning up to the fact that we are not doing something right or we are doing something wrong. And folks, it's hit me square in the face. I've had to realize before God Almighty, not the witness I need to be. I don't believe the church today is the witness that it needs to be. Some of you have been outstanding examples for me. Brother Mike Sales, I think I even used him the last time, an outstanding example for somebody that will just talk to anybody that he meets. We need to get to that point. We need to get to that point, folks, where we're witnessing. We're the preachers. We're the preachers. God has put us here in order for us to be able to tell others about Jesus Christ. And we've got to turn over to the book of Jonah. I know you all know the story of Jonah. After you turn there, turn also in your Bible to the book of Acts chapter 8 and just hold your finger there. First verse of the first chapter of Jonah. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. I was getting ready to say, Austin, come up here, but I think that could take a little while. If you can work your way out of here, Andrew, come on up here. Let me share with you, sadly, what happened so many times in my life. Andrew, come on up here. This, you name it. This can be a KFC. This can be the bus stop, which I never go to, or whatever the case may be. Any place in America where you have to stand in line. Cedar Point, anybody, right? Cedar Point, you're waiting for that new ride, and you're standing there for 2 hours, and you start chit-chatting with somebody, and the Holy Spirit is saying, arise, go. Okay, this was a very direct command that God had given to one individual person to go to a very specific people. Holy Spirit speaks to me, say, give that guy a track. Pull out, at least give this guy a track. Now, you may not have a lot of time. The Holy Spirit, oh, man, I know. What's he going to think of me? I'm standing here. There's people in line behind me. I look at the time. Okay, I gotta get out of here. How many times has that happened in our life? We resist the Holy Spirit. As I preached on Wednesday night, we're quenching the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is trying to speak to us, getting us to do something, getting us to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Hey, guess what, folks? We criticize Jonah. I can't believe Jonah did that. It's the same thing. There's no difference. Even if we stay there all the way through to the end till we get our cheeseburger and walk out that door. Thank you, Andrew. Go and sit down. It's the same thing. We're doing what Jonah has done. We turned our back on the Holy Spirit of God trying to speak to us. Turn over now back to, I told you to have your finger in Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, look at verse 26. The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go. It's like the same command that was given to Jonah, wasn't it? Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. He arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, keep going on down, was returning in verse 28, sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. What are those next three words? And Philip ran. Now let me ask you that question. Let me ask myself that question. How many times have I been in a situation when the Holy Spirit of God says, man, you really need to talk to that person? How many folks are out there right now that you know the Lord has told you you've got to go speak with that person, and you have dropped the thing that you are doing and ran and got over there because of the urgency of the time, because eternity is forever, and because of weeping and gnashing of teeth, because of the lake of fire that folks who do not receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior are headed to. How many times have we run? We need a sense of urgency. We need a shift in our focus to where we run when the Holy Spirit of God speaks to us. See, every single one of us, and I know Pastor speaks about it, has a circle of people. A circle of people, you call it your friends, your loved ones, your family, your coworkers. We come into contact on a regular basis with anywhere from 150 to 200 people. Every single one of us. Those are the prospects for us to be able to witness to. But even more than that, there are people that God puts in our way that may not be in our normal circle for us to witness to. Our problem is, my problem is, I've lost focus of that. I'm no longer looking at life versus what is temporal and what is eternal. I'm only looking at life about what I have to do today. What do I have going on today? I have to do this, I have to do that, I have to do this. Pastor Dave talked about all of the distractions that are in our life today. We've got way too many distractions. Many of those distractions are what we think are good things. It's time for us to make the priorities. It's time for us to get back to the basics. I love basketball. I got to tell you, I'm not a fancy basketball player. I'm just not good enough. But even if I were, I'd like to think I wouldn't be a fancy basketball player. I like the basics. I like teamwork. We need to get back to the basics. The church at Ephesus had lost their first love. Folks, we've lost our first love. The love. How joyous is it to share the gospel of Jesus Christ? How wonderful is it when that sinner repents, receives Christ as their personal Savior? We've got to get a love back for sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's time for us to change our focus. Another thing that will pass away, this physical body is going to pass away, amen? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I know we oftentimes rejoice and shout and glory and the idea that we'll no longer have the pains and the groanings, the discomfort, the sicknesses, the pain that we're going through today in our bodies. And some of you know that a whole lot better than I do. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51, Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. Hey, this physical body is going to pass away. The contrast there is that we're going to get a new spiritual body. A body that is never, ever, ever going to pass away. To me, this does a couple of things. One thing, I can rejoice. Hey, no more knee surgeries, okay? It's been contagious in this church lately, okay? When one person gets it, another person has to have it, all right? No more cancer, no more diabetes, no more any of those things that we're all getting diagnosed with and that we're all having pains with. We're all getting sick and tired of hearing somebody else has got this. No more of that. Amen. We're getting a new body. Amen. But you know what? We can still make it with the bodies that we have here on earth. Paul had some problems. Paul had some difficulties that he had to go through. But Paul said, God's grace was sufficient for him. One thing we got to realize, it is temporal. I said, this body, this physical body is going to go away. It's going to pass away. That should make you rejoice. That should make you be able to look down the road and say, okay, I know I've got problems right now. I know it's difficult to get up and to get out and to do things right now, but praise the Lord, there's a day coming when I don't have that. Praise the Lord, God's grace can help you to get through the pains, get through the difficulty that you're suffering through right now, to keep on going. See, our problem sometimes is we let the fact that we do live in a mortal body, we let the fact that we do have a corruptible body, keep us from doing God's will. What if Paul had sat down and said, boy, this thorn in my flesh, this problem that I have is just too much for me. I'm not going to be able to make it over to Ephesus. I'm not going to be able to make it to Thessalonica. I'm not going to be able to make it to Rome. I think I need to just quit what I'm doing right now. Paul saw the contrast. Paul saw there was a new body coming. And Paul was able to keep going because he went boldly before the throne of grace. Yeah. That he could obtain mercy, yeah, find grace to help in his time of need. We just got to go to that throne of grace. We've got to ask our Lord to help us in our time of need. When it's this physical body that someday is going to pass away that's keeping us from doing that thing that he wants us to do, go to the Lord. Go to the throne of grace and ask for that help. Something else that's going to pass away. You know, the pleasures of sin pass away. They're not just going to pass away. They do pass away. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25. Hebrews 11, verse 25 speaks of Moses. By faith, Moses, in verse 24, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And indeed, folks, the pleasures of sin pass away. Why do you think a drug addict needs another fix? Why does an alcoholic need another drink? Because the pleasure that is offered in that one drink, the pleasure that is offered in that one fix is not enough. That pleasure goes away. Pleasures of sin pass away. The joy of Jesus Christ does not pass away. We've got to have a shift in our focus. There's a lot of things in this world that trap us. I don't know what traps you. I don't know what Satan has cleverly crafted for you, but trust me, he's crafted something for you. Something to attack you, something to drag you and to bring you down and to take you away from Jesus Christ and doing his will. But understand, the pleasure that you get from that thing is only for a season. But the joy of serving Jesus Christ is for eternity. Jesus Christ said, go ahead and turn over in John chapter 15 and verse 11. This struck me when I was looking at this verse, and I didn't really, Pastor Dave talked about it this morning, context. Look at the context. When you're looking at Scripture, understand the verses that are around it. Understand what's being spoken of. John chapter 15 and verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. We said the pleasures of sin is only for a season. They pass away. What Jesus Christ is speaking here, when you look at the context, he's talking about abiding in him. He's talking obeying his commands. And you know what? Wouldn't it be great if we actually started desiring and craving a fix of Jesus Christ? Boy, I'd love to have a fix of my Bible this morning. I'd love to get in and get some prayer done this morning and get on my knees. I didn't get enough prayer this morning. I only had 15 minutes of prayer. Can't wait till I have another opportunity to get back and get on my knees and pray some more. Can't wait till I get another opportunity to pick up God's holy word and read some more. Can't wait for another opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with somebody. Would to God, those are the things that we seek after. Those are the things that we take pleasure in instead of the things of this world. It's time for us to have a change in focus. The pleasures of this world, the pleasures of sin pass away. But the joy of serving Jesus Christ is not going to go away. Imagine that day. And I don't know. How would it be to enter into God's kingdom and have him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I look out here and I know the testimonies of some of the people here. I can only imagine that you're going to hear those words. Would to God we would all hear those words. Yes. Imagine the joy that will carry with you, yes, for eternity when you enter into the gates, hearing those words. Yes. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. All of those things that were designed to distract you from serving me. All of those things. I understand we fall. I understand we falter and that the Lord picks us back up. I'm not talking about never ever sinning, never ever having a problem. But continuing on, steadfast.
Yes.
Where Christ says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Pleasures of sin are going to pass away. The joy of serving our Lord never will. The riches of this world are going to pass away. Psalm 39 and verse 6 says, surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. James 1:10 says, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. How much time do we spend trying to get stuff? There's a new show on about hoarders. I don't know if anybody's seen that. I changing this morning, and this thing was on. Just stuff, trash, junk, okay? People that just collect stuff. And we sit back and look, I just can't believe that people would gather that much stuff and have it in their house. Have you looked in your garage lately? Have you looked in the storage barn lately? John Black is raising his hand. My dad's garage looks just, okay? We go about life seeking after stuff. I go about life seeking after stuff. Those things are going to pass away. We've got a church building, okay, a building that we want to build. A church, is it Nigeria? Humana Baptist Church in Nigeria sent $700, and I don't know the figures, but I can only imagine that that's more than a yearly wage, probably, maybe even for that entire church, but definitely more than a year's wage for any one of those people in that church. They've got a right focus, folks, on what God has entrusted them with. And I know we've preached messages on this, and I'm not going to belabor this point, but we've got to have a change in focus. The Lord has blessed us very, very richly in this nation. Yes. We're expecting and we're praying down heaven for God to do something with Lasco Foundation. Work in their hearts so that they will give us money to build this building. But folks, we got to be willing in and of ourselves to give whatever God lays on our hearts to give.
Yes.
We really do. Right. Pastor said it. Pastor Dave has said it. There's no way to get around it. We've got to be willing to do what we got to do. There's a lot of other things we could spend money on.
Right.
Absolutely. And I'm not saying, please don't get me wrong, because I'm going to walk out of here and say, I saw Brother Mike going through the drive-thru at McDonald's again, even though I saw Brother Mike going through. He could have put that $2.35 in the offering plate. Okay, please don't get me wrong. But we've got to ask the Lord, seriously, what would you have me to do? What would you have me to give? You see, the riches of this world, the things that we spend all of our money on, those wonderful things that we just like to have, that we like to hoard, that we like to enjoy, they're going away. That building out there is going to go away. If we build that new building, when we build that new building, hey, a matter of time, that building is going to go away. But the souls that are reached for Jesus Christ, that's eternity. When you put that dollar, when you put that $10, whatever it is, when you give to the work of Jesus Christ, you got to understand this. We get into the rut, okay, Sunday morning preacher passing the plate. We've got to understand, when we give to the work of this ministry, we give something for eternity. When we support our missionaries, we're stocking up some treasure in heaven. You know, talk about investing, they always talk about the long-term investment. Those are the ones you want to go for. The long-term investment. Hey, that's long-term, amen. You can't get any more long-term than an eternal investment. All right. The riches of this world are going to pass away. But the riches that God gives for faithful service to Him will never pass away. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. First Corinthians chapter 3, the Bible says in verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. Hey, those rewards, those riches don't ever pass away. And I don't know about you, but when we get to heaven, we see Jesus Christ. Every single one of us are going to drop on our face. We talk about how wonderful it's going to be to run up and give Jesus a big hug. And as much as a wonderful thought is, I got to believe we're going to drop on our face. We're going to drop on our face humbled before God Almighty. Jesus Christ is God Almighty. We're going to be humbled before Him. And whatever rewards, whatever riches, whatever treasures made it through the fire, I got to believe Christ. That's all I've got. Yep. I'm here before you. I've got nothing to offer but this. Do we want to heap up those kind of treasures? Or we want to get more stuff hoarded in our garage? This world and this world system are going to pass away. Turn over to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 17. So life here on earth is going to pass away. Life in eternity is forever. The pleasures of sin are going to pass away. The riches of this world are going to pass away. This world and its system is going to pass away. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 17. The world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Many of man's philosophies on life, on money, on rearing children have come and gone, and they will continue to come and go. I'm amazed at how many Christians will adopt the philosophies of this world. And isn't it funny? The right way to train your children today, according to the professionals, is all wrong tomorrow. There's a new study that comes out and says, no. That's not the way to rear your children. You need to do it this way. This world's going to pass away. All of the philosophies that man can come up with is going to pass away. We don't need to be placing our stock in those things. There's a lot of education that goes on in this world, and I don't want to slight anybody that has received good quality education. There's a place for that. There's value in it. But folks, as Christians, we've got to be very, very careful about what we take and about what we espouse to when it comes to this world's philosophy, because this world and all of its philosophies are going to pass away. But I've got something right here in my hand. According to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 25 tells me that this is never, ever going to pass away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and is the word whereby the gospel is preached unto you. Luke 21 and verse 33, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. You know, even in heaven, it's not the end of God's words. God's words are forever settled in heaven. They're going to be there when we get there. And aren't you glad that God has kept them for us today in this King James Bible? Amen?
Yes. Amen.
The philosophies of this world are going to pass away, but everything that we have in God's word is eternal. It's something that we can bank on. It's something that we can count on. You got a question about how to rear your children? Hey, don't go to Dr. Spock or one of these other lunatics out there. Go to God's word. He'll tell you how to rear your children. You got a question about what to do with money? Hey, there's a lot of smart folks out there, but start in God's word. You got a question about how to get to heaven? I think it's in God's word. Something we got to realize is there is, I didn't talk about this before, but you know there is only one way to get to heaven, in case you were confused about that. The reason why I bring that up, now I'm serious. The reason why I bring that up is we'll fool ourselves into thinking that some people are going to make it there because they're pretty good folks. We'll fool ourselves into not witnessing to somebody because they're a pretty good person. And we fool ourselves into believing that they're probably going to make it. And we will never, ever open our mouth and utter one word of the gospel of Jesus Christ to those people because they're pretty good. We've got to be careful about this world's philosophy. This world's philosophy says as long as, you know, all roads lead to heaven. The commonality, I heard something on the radio the other day, somebody was talking about Islam, and they were talking about the commonality of all religions. Folks, there's nothing common about, there's nothing common about being saved. There's nothing common with our religion. I don't even like that word hardly. There's nothing common about what we hold dear to our hearts. The fact that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. The fact that He died on the cross of Calvary. He was buried. That He rose again 3 days. There's nothing at all common. The fact that He is the Son of God and He is very God. Hey, there's nothing common with the Mormons. There's nothing common with Jehovah's Witness. There's nothing common with the Church of Christ down the road that says I got to be dunked back there before I can be saved. There's nothing common. There's one way and only one way. And that way is through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. This world's philosophies, their ideas about religion, their ideas about eternity are going to pass away. But God's Word will never, ever pass away. This is a temporal world that we're living in. In this temporal world, it's good to know that those things which God has ordained are eternal. God has ordained some eternal things. We have eternal life to look forward to. We have His Word that is eternal. The temporary nature of the things of this world, its sin, its riches, even our bodies and the cares and philosophies of this world ought to cause us to focus more on the eternal things. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2 tells us that we need to set our affections on things above. Some of the things that we've looked at here tonight as we close, some of the things that we've looked here tonight, we've looked at some temporal things that really, really need to help us to have a sense of urgency. These are some temporal things that we've got to have on our mind. We've got to understand that life here is short and it's going to pass away. But then there's a lot of other temporal things that we need to just stop focusing so much of our time on. Stop focusing on the riches of this world. Stop focusing on the pleasures of sin that only last for a season. Stop focusing on the philosophies of this world and start focusing on the eternal things of God's Word. Pastor.
Let me ask you tonight, where is your focus at? Is our focus on eternity? Souls of mankind? Are we caught up with the temporal things of the world? I'm so convinced many times all of us as Christians, we get so caught up with temporal worldly things that we really lose sight of the eternal things that God wants us to have our eyes on. Maybe tonight you'd say, "Preacher, God spoke to me and I need to focus more. I've not been focusing like I should. Pray for me." Who'd say that? Just yes, yes, yes. Oh my, yes. God bless you. Yes, yes. Yes, God bless you. Yes. Maybe you want to come and pray tonight. I'm going to pray. Maybe you'll want to come and pray. God, help me to focus. The Bible says, draw nigh unto God, and He'll draw nigh unto you. As I look, I think everyone here would have a profession of faith, but you just never know. Would there be any here tonight that say, "Preacher, I'll be honest with you. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I don't want to die and go to hell. Pray for me." Anyone like that tonight? "Pastor, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I sure don't want to lose out and go to hell." Heavenly Father, thank you for the great message and the challenge for us to think about those things that are going to be eternal, those things that are going to pass away. I saw a lot of hands go up on both sides. Lord, please, please help us. Help us to focus on that which is important. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand.